Okay, well, this is my grandfather, Roger Gomez, and we're going to be talking to him about the war in Vietnam. And so to start off, just tell me kind of what was your rank and your specific, kind of what your duties were in Vietnam.
I was a staff sergeant. I wasn't a security police. Our job was to set a perimeter on the base, and we had different positions from where we can observe the outside of the base. The base was located right outside Tan Sanut, Vietnam, and our duties were night duties. We went to work at 8 o'clock in the evening, and we have different methods for providing the security. We have mobile vehicles with different weapons installed on them, and we had the bunkers and the towers, and we had the patrol units that patrol around the perimeter. The base was divided in sectors, and each sector had a different mobile unit ready to respond to any emergency that might come at any time of the night. We had to stay alert and watchful. We can see the war going on in the horizon, the helicopters shooting from above and set a base fire. And we could see the rockets at the distance, and quite often they came into the base. There was one that I was approximately 50 feet from the landing of the rocket, where I killed several Vietnamese people that were living on the base.
Tell me exactly when you went to Vietnam, and kind of what was your MOS?
Well, I was saying, I went in 1969. I believe it was November 69. I was 77170, which is our FSC. And I was a flight sergeant then, in Vietnam.
Okay. And what, before then, what was your civilian occupation?
Well, before I went into the service, I came to the United States in 1952 from Puerto Rico, and went to live in Chicago with my brother, who was attending or going through college to be an architect. And we lived together in the north side of uptown Chicago. I went to work for a furniture company that he was working. He met a fellow in Puerto Rico who sent him to Chicago, and his brother was in charge of the company, and he got a job with them. And then when I came over, I went to work at the furniture factory also. Then later I went to work to a candy company in Skokie, Illinois. That was when I joined the service in 1955.
What was your what was your decision based on to join the service?
Always as a child, when I was growing up in Puerto Rico, I remember the military personnel coming from different locations in Puerto Rico and the base, and I have relatives that were in the military. And the uniform seemed to give me the idea that that's what I want to be. I want to be a soldier. Because I saw that was much pride in being in the military. The way they conduct themselves and the way they dressed up and their personality was different than everyone around because they had much discipline. Mm-hmm.
What was your response once you joined the military? Was it different than you thought it might be, or was it kind of what you expected?
When I went in, I knew that everything was going to be different. That I had to change my way of thinking and be adapted to a different condition, a different environment, which is the military is all by itself. I came to Texas, Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, where I took the basic training. I believe it was 11 weeks of basic training, learning the basics, military, different military duties and behavior, and how to conduct ourselves to be a soldier. And from there, after the training, I was sent to California, Merced, California, an Air Force base, I believe was the 93rd Bomb Wing that had the biggest airplane that the Air Force had at that time.
And through that training, how did that training affect, how did that training translate to your assignment in Vietnam?
Well, we always went on training. Training never stopped in the military. You train constantly. Besides, you perform your assigned duties, and then there are different days that you do your training. And the training will guide you to and your performance or duty, always learning something new.
Was there any kind of, once you were on assignment, was there any kind of specialized training that you received specifically for your assignment in Vietnam?
Well, before, all the security policemen that went to Vietnam had to come back to Texas. Before I went to Vietnam, I have gone to England, and from England I came back and went to Indiana. And from Indiana, that was when I was sent to, assigned to go to Vietnam. And I had to return to Texas, to Lackland Air Force Base, to take a special training, combat duties. It simulated Vietnamese villages and using different tactics of what we will encounter when we arrive in Vietnam, and to be prepared for any activity that we might find in a way of performing our duty.
What was it like in those weeks leading up to your deployment? What was it like personally for you, and as far as the troops that you were going with, the morale, the kind of the experience of preparing to go overseas?
Well, really, I have three children, and I know that I was going to a war zone, and there was the danger not returning. So I had to get my affairs together and make sure that the family was and had the proper living condition before I left. And And then we had to report to California. From there, we will take a plane to, we will take us to Vietnam.
And then once you arrived on the ground in Vietnam, what was the experience in the, as far as your group?
Well, arriving to a war zone, you are overthinking what is coming out, coming in the near future, or from day to day. Tan Son Air Force Base was the national airport for Vietnam, and we were constantly on alert because there were so many possibilities that the Viet Cong might attack at any time.
What was, talk a little bit about the discipline of your specific unit. Talk about your unit and kind of the leadership of that unit and what kind of discipline they had.
Well, the security policeman is, we are three different flights. We have the flight that worked during the night, and the flight that worked during the day, and the other flight is on training and standby in case of emergency. We constantly provide the security for the base and the patrol and the watchtowers and the mobile units that constantly patrol the perimeter of the base for any possible activity that might come in our way.
Do you remember any times where there was a particular instance of really good leadership or really poor leadership where someone maybe made a mistake or did something out of the ordinary?
The leadership in our units, the discipline of the military is different from anything that you can think, because the change of command, the chain of command, require that every junior be obedient to the orders of the senior. And there is no second guess when they tell you to do something, especially in a time of war, in a combat place, you have to be mindful that by no obedience of obeying the orders of your superiors, you can create a possibility harmful to somebody else.
You talked a little bit earlier about being able to see the front lines in the distance, see the combat off in the distance. What was your experience as far as how close you got to the combat and what your experience was there?
Well, when I first arrived to Vietnam, we had to go 2 weeks of training in the country. So we all went out and we went into a search and destroy mission for the day. It's a jungle place, and you just walk in water up to you, almost to your waist sometimes, and you are in a jungle place all the time. And we set up a line of security, and we move forward with our weapon ready, watchful of any activities that might be ahead of us. And then when we stop for lunch, we just set a circle, everybody facing out, because you have to be always watchful and prepare for any action with a weapon ready in front of you.
Talk a little about the weapons that you had, what you were given once you were there.
Well, we had the different weapons that we used. We always carry a weapon with us, and the 38 caliber revolver was one that was carried beside you carry your M16, and every member had an M16, but the vehicles and the towers were M30 caliber machine gun and M50 guns were mounted on the tower. We all have the weapons at the time that were in use in the war.
Was there a difference between the weapons that y'all used and the weapons that were given to the PAVN or the South Vietnamese that you fought with?
Well, every soldier that went into battle was an M16, and then they had their tanks, which carried their heavy armory. The helicopters are with a 50 caliber gun from above, which you can see them in the distance at night, setting their base of fire. It looked like a sheet of fire with their, when they are the tracers at the horizon. It looked like it's a continuous sheet of fire going down to the ground.
I've seen the picture of you and your buddy from Vietnam, a Vietnamese fellow. Talk a little bit about the Vietnamese that you served with and what they were like.
Well, the Vietnamese army served with our army, but we as a unit, we were we are not together with the Vietnamese, but they were constantly in contact. They were civilians that work on the base, and they do have perform civilian jobs on the PX and in the mess hall, and they were cooks, and they were always around. You barely could communicate with them because I couldn't speak the language, and we communicate mostly by signals, and they understood because they were willing to learn the English language. I did not mingle around with the Vietnamese, even though the Saigon, which was the biggest city in Vietnam, was right outside the perimeter of the base. And very seldom I went to Saigon because the dangers weren't always present. Because there were so many military people that you were always around and with someone else that wasn't the military.
When you think about your time there in Vietnam, what's one thing that, when you think back to that time, what's one thing that stands out?
There are many things that were different. It's just the living conditions of the people, their custom, their way they conduct themselves, and how they live. Although Vietnam, the South Vietnam, was different from the North Vietnam that we were fighting, and the Viet Cong, which were the same people that we encounter from day to day. They might be the one that work at the base during the days, and they become a Viet Cong during the night. So we never knew who the people were, so we had to be careful in how we handle ourselves, because we could be talking to a Viet Cong that knew, that could have learned our ways of the military by spying in the while they performed their job.
During the war, there was a lot of controversy back home, obviously. Talk a little bit about the morale of the troops there, was it more of a, was there a lot of talk of why we were at war, or was it more that was our job and that's what we were there to do?
Well, at that time, I remember that there was a lot of controversy going back home, but when I was over there, I was concerned with my duties and making sure that I stay on alert, that I always was planning to come back to my family, and I wasn't much interested in what was going on. The morale of the troops was pretty high, and although there were those at that time, there was the draft, and there were many soldiers that they didn't want to be there, so you can imagine the conduct of their behavior. But they knew that when we're sent up to the front line, they have to go, so there was always the dangers of a soldier making a mistake, or if he did not follow the proper instruction, it could become a detrimental to the unit and create much problem for them.
Well, your tour came to an end, what was it like as you knew you were finally going home?
Well, when every day count, and every day we deduct from the time we were there, so we knew that soon I will be coming home. It's just about, when you've been there for 10 months, you know that you're getting shorter. But you have to be prepared, because many people that were ready to come home tomorrow, some of them lost their life the day before. So they are, you're overthinking and want to come home, but you're never sure that you're going to make it. You're always in, the hope is that you will return to your family. And I was always thankful to God for giving me the privilege of serving there and to protect me when I was in the war zone.
What kind of correspondence did you have with your family during your time?
It was much different than now, that the correspondence, the letter took about a month or probably longer to arrive from the United States to Vietnam. And there were ways that you could call home, but being in the, and that was probably more possible to the high rank of people, because there was no telephone to call directly to our family. I tried to write home every day or every other day, but the mail to arrive was, what took a long time, and it was such a joyful moment to receive letter from the family. And I always looking forward for the mail when I went to check my mail every day.
Based on your experience, what would you tell those today who are preparing to go maybe to Iraq or Afghanistan and those who are there?
Well, the situation right now is more different than it was then, although it was combat condition that the soldier would look forward to and had to be prepared. But the weapons system has changed so much in Vietnam that much more modernization has taken place and different weapons has come into being. And since I got out of the military in 1977, the whole system has gone through a big change, and I will always tell, if anyone asks me, to make sure that you conduct yourself with discipline and you follow instruction and you do your duty to the best of your ability. Because when you in the military, you are a unit, and each one is looking for the other. So be always ready and follow instruction and make sure that you are doing the best that you can. To know, trying to make shortcuts in your duties, because that could be a disaster for you.
Well, that's a fitting message today on Veterans Day.